Welcome to the sermon for Sunday morning, 26th of December. We're finishing off a little series running from through Advent to Christmas to now on Isaiah, bits of Isaiah, Christ coming through Isaiah. Today we're looking at chapter 62, verses 8 to 12. Now, I want you to imagine two worlds. You bake some cakes and your big brother comes and eats them all. That's a bad world. A nice world would be you bake some cakes and they're amazing and you can eat every single one. Or you can share them with the people you want to share them with. Or maybe you work hard all your life. You put your money into savings. You work hard, you skimp and save to make sure you've got plenty of savings. And then somebody comes along and tricks you and gets all your life savings away from you. Terrible world. Good world would be where you can do all that and then you can enjoy what you've set aside for the future. So two worlds. A world where, excuse my squeaky chair, a world where things go wrong and a world that where things come out right. A good world, a bad world, a nice world, a horrible world. One world our dreams come true. The other world, everything crumbles through our fingers. Now, we've watched Jesus over these last few weeks, if you've been watching any of these. And we've seen him, this kind of servant, called to his work, called to be the one who saves. We've seen the promise of great things filtered through him. So today we come to the end, but we're not quite at the end. But I think the idea is it's like we're seeing a promo video for the final thing. So the final thing is happening. It's definitely happening. And here is the little kind of thing to get us excited. We're seeing it, but not quite fully finished. That's what's going on this time of thing. So verse 8, how does it start? Well, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm. The Lord speaks, he's sworn. So the word of God commands, stands out in strength. With his right hand, his mighty arm, you could say that's the action of God that the word makes happen. So God himself speaking, but speaking and active. And then we're introduced to the second couple of words in verse 8. And we're introduced to a kind of this two worlds. A kind of double think, two worlds. Never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies. And never again will your enemies, the foreigners, drink the new wine that you have toiled to make. See, that's the bad world. That the enemies, the foreigners, they come and they take over and you've put all this effort in and it's gone. The Lord says, never again, never again will that happen. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that the ideal world put in front of you and God saying this is what this ideal world will come to be? Verse 9, a little step further from that. Those who harvest it, who harvest the grain and the wine, the grapes and the wine, those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord. Those who gather the grapes, they will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. That's a pretty impressive pronouncement. So, look again at verse 9. Where does this happen? Where will we eat and drink? Where will we praise the Lord? In the courts of his sanctuary. In other words, God was saying, you will be at my house. You will be eating with me. And it will all be yours. There will be no enemies, nobody to take it away. Isn't that a brilliant picture? Eating with God in his house, fully protected. The fruits of our labour can come through again and again and again. So, what happens next? Verse 10, there's a scene change in this film, if you like. And we hear, it's like a call again, isn't it? Pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. This scene now is saying, look what's happening. There's people all around moving. Now, maybe the path through the gates, maybe this is Babylon. Maybe this is people of God who have been exiled in Babylon, refugees in Babylon. Maybe the gates are opened in Babylon and they're able to come out. They're coming and they need a way because they're going to Jerusalem, to Zion. They need a way to get there. So the roads are being built and the call is going out for more builders for this road, this highway. Not a stumbling path, but a straight highway, but it is a long distance. Verse 11c, the Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see your Saviour comes. See, Zion is the focus, that place. Zion, not only for Jerusalem, or here in Isaiah, the new Jerusalem, this ideal city where God will dwell with his people. So the people are on the move. The road is being built to Zion. And the Lord is now again proclaiming. But see where he's proclaiming, not just to this little group in Babylon or not just to the people, the few people now in Jerusalem. He's proclaiming to the ends of the earth. But it's still focused on Zion. Say to daughter Zion, so daughter Zion, notice the ends of the earth are hearing. Your salvation, your Saviour is coming to you. See, his reward is with him. So what are they watching? Are they watching the Saviour coming? Or they're watching the people coming? Well, it's both, isn't it? The people are coming because the Saviour is coming. And because the Saviour is coming, his people are coming too. It's one and the same thing with Jesus has won these people through his great victory. And therefore, when he comes, they come. Wherever he is, they are. But let's watch. Let's slow down here in verse 11 and watch. The Lord, there's three kind of beholds here. Verse 11 really begins with the word behold or see. See, the Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, and then you get it again. See, your Saviour, or more precisely, your salvation comes. And then again, see, his reward, that is, the Saviour's reward is with him. So salvation is coming, but when we see what's coming, it's not an event. It's not like VE Day. It's not like there's an event which people can celebrate and mark the date and thank God for it. When they say salvation is coming, there he is. Salvation is a he, it's a Jesus, it's a servant, it's the Saviour. But he's coming not just as a man who has saved, he's coming, salvation is coming. And his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. Now, what's recompense? That's an old word. You don't only get that word in the Bible, don't you? Well, let me try and illustrate it like this. Think of the cakes that you've been baking. They come out of the oven and they look perfect. And you're so proud. And nobody comes to steal them. They're there, they're yours, you've made them. That is an accomplishment. That's a great achievement. But then someone comes along and says, those cakes look so good, can I buy them from you? And so you sell them and they give you a lot of money. And not only have you accomplished making great cakes, you have got a reward because of the cakes you made, of the money you've earned. So you've earned a reward, but you've also got an accomplishment in making the cakes. The recompense is the cakes, these great cakes you've made, the accomplishment. But you also got paid for them. That's the reward. So when Jesus comes along here, we're told his reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. So what's Jesus' reward? What has he earned from his work? Well, it's the people rewarded to him by his Father, if you want to put it in those terms. Jesus has done his work and the Father has said, here is your reward. Here is this person and this person and this person. All these people I'm giving to you. That's your payment. That's your reward for this great work you've done. But what's his recompense? Well, his recompense is when Jesus came to save, when he saved, these people were set free. They were redeemed. So he has accomplished redemption for these people. But also the Father says, here you have them as a reward for what you have done. So the people are given to him as a reward, as well as they're the people Jesus has earned salvation for, the people saved through his accomplishment. So it's like a double gift, a double reward for Jesus through the same work of saving. So what are these people like? These people that belong to Jesus for these two reasons. What are they like? There's four mini descriptions of them in verse 12. First of all, they're called the holy people. In other words, they're the people set aside, transformed and set aside so that they are now wholly connected, wholly separated to God. They're his possession, a holy people. That's what they are. They're different. They're transformed. No longer the sinful rebels, now separated to God. And then if you skip to the last bit of verse 12, the description there is a city no longer deserted. It's like a name for the city. A city no longer deserted. The people are the city that full of people. That's the nature of the people. They're together. They're all together. The city is not empty. The city is full. These are the people together. They are the saved people, the redeemed. So that's the first and the last little pictures, but there's two in the middle, the redeemed of the Lord and sought after. Now, we can just put a little kind of twist on this. If you the redeemed of the Lord, they are redeemed, but it's the Lord who has redeemed them. Jesus has redeemed them. God himself has redeemed them. In other words, Jesus did something. And then sought after. They are sought after. They're called sought after. Jesus sought them. God sought them. So no longer, not only are they holy, separated to God, not only are they also a people gathered together in Zion or as Zion, they're also people that Jesus has set free. Jesus has redeemed. And they're also people Jesus has sought for. He has gone out to find them. He has gone out to save them, and he has saved them. So they are the people transformed, changed the city. But that's been done by the work of Jesus, their saviour, their servant, this great redeemer. Isn't that a wonderful picture? This is what Jesus has done for. This is what Christmas was for. Why God became a human being. To go through all the world and through Jesus, save, rescue, redeem, gather, transform, make holy, gather them into a city so that they are with God, eating with him in his house. The ideal world comes to be. Every difficulty is gone. The no longer the horrible world, but the nice world, the free world, the great world. What a picture. It's a promise from God. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, he will accomplish it. That's our assurance. Let me pray. Father, what a wonderful image we're given here. Thank you for your kindness, your generosity, your great love for us. That you have gone to these lengths over these thousands of years through your Son coming to give his life for us, through this great Saviour. Father, we thank you. We ask that we will hear this. Lord, open our ears so that we do hear. Open our eyes so that we see. that we may humbly bow before you, to be gathered into these people, to be the ones that Jesus saves. Amen.